there is a word from the Lord, y'all. And so we're going to continue this morning in our preaching series, The Best Christmas Gift Ideas. And as we've said in previous weeks, y'all know that at this time of the year, there are retailers, there are folks that are out on social media, there are people that are touting what the best Christmas gifts are for the year. Oprah's got her stuff, all of the, they have their favorite things for the year. Everybody's touting what's the best Christmas gift for this year, from toys to tech gadgets to clothing to household goods and appliances. Brothers, let me put a plug in right here from a married OG. Listen, don't say to your wife, baby, I know you needed a vacuum cleaner. And so for Christmas, this is what I decided to be careful. I'm a saved, sanctified, married OG. I've been around for a minute. Let me drop some knowledge on y'all this morning. Don't come like that. You better come correct, you know. But maybe some of the wives, maybe that's what y'all want. You want a vacuum cleaner. You couldn't wait to get that new washer and dryer so you can wash his clothes. And so glory to God. Glory to God. But what we've been talking about, y'all, are some best gift ideas that are biblical. Some best gift ideas that are really not tangible. They're priceless. Yeah. Yeah. And they cannot be purchased with money. Over the last 2 weeks, we looked at two great gift ideas from Scripture. We talked about giving quality time to those that are around us, giving quality time to our loved ones. That, listen, our time on this earth is brief. We'll only be here for a certain amount of time, and we don't even know when we'll leave here. So while we're here, why not give quality time to the special people in your life? We also talked about the gift of affirmation. When people do well, when people are operating at a level of faith in their lives like you've never seen before, why not let them know? Yeah. Let them, I see you. You know, I see the fact that, listen, the other day you were down and depressed, but now today you're walking in faith. You're talking some Jesus stuff. You're talking some word stuff. Affirm them. I see you. People treat you well. Encourage them. Affirm them. Affirm their God-given purpose. Let people know that they have purpose. Affirm them. And so today, y'all, today, so here it is. A few days ago, I was watching television, and I was looking at this popular morning news program, and y'all, the feature story, they were talking about re-gifting. Re-gifting during the holiday season. Now some people look at it and be strange. Let me make it real simple for you. Re-gifting is simply this: that someone gives you a gift, and you're all happy about it, and you turn around and you wrap that thing up and give it to somebody. This is just for you. You re-give. Survey was taken, y'all, on this morning show. They said 76% of people believe in, and they do, re-gift. While the other 20-some percent, y'all, they say, it's not good. So I would take a survey this morning to see how many people in the house believe in re-gift, but I don't want to bust it. I don't want to see that, y'all. Because somebody was like, why you going to give me your leftovers? So, somebody gives you a gift. Look, walk with me. Oh, thank you so much. This is just what I wanted. This is just what I needed. I thank you for this gift. And next year's like, this is just for you. I had you in mind. That re-gifting, y'all, re-gifting. But I believe this, y'all. There is a gift that all of us should be willing to re-gift to people in our lives that need it. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. We'll look at chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this: and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'm going to talk about a great Christmas re-gift, giving the gift of forgiveness. A great Christmas re-gift, giving the gift of forgiveness. So the birth story of Jesus is perhaps one of the most famous stories in the entire world. Especially at this time of the year, we hear this birth story over and over again. It's a story, y'all, that's marked by bright lights, by angels and shepherds, by this bewildered guy by the name of Joseph, who's to marry this woman but finds that she's already with child. But he's told by this angel to do it, to go ahead and to marry her. And the child that she's going to have, that he's going to be a baby, that he's going to be born in a place called Bethlehem. And y'all know the story. We know the story well. But when we think about this story, y'all, it's not an ordinary story. Because the story is not about an ordinary child. When we think about this story, in the heart of this story, at the end of the day, that this story is about God's forgiveness. This child was to be born to save his people from their sins. And if anybody ought to be shouting people this morning, it ought to be us, because we know that because we believe on the name of Jesus, because of his blood, because of what he did for us on Calvary, we are forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future. But the gift of forgiveness given to us must be given to others. To be honest, can I be honest with you for a minute? that I want forgiveness. when I trip and when I mess up, I want God to forgive me. But if I were honest with you, there's been some times in my life when it's been difficult for me to turn around and to forgive other people because of how they have offended me. How many of us would gather around holiday tables this year and we've got a grudge against a loved one? How many of us will eat a great Christmas meal and we'll fellowship with people that we like and we want to be around, but there are people in our lives that we simply refuse to forgive because they hurt us, because they offended us. And so how do we develop in this holy day season, in this holiday season, a heart of total forgiveness for those who have hurt us? How do we re-gift what God has given to us? If you are under the sound of my voice, if you're listening in, listen, God forgave you. And what a great offense. But we're to forgive those that are around us. So how do we develop this heart of total forgiveness? First this. Focus on the fact that forgiveness is really, it's the heart of God. It is the heart of God. And so in the telling of the story of the birth of Jesus, so Matthew highlights this appearing of an angel to Joseph. And Joseph is Jesus' earthly father, but the angel brings a message to Joseph from his heavenly father, and Jesus' heavenly father. You are to be engaged to Mary. She's with child. The child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. All of this is happening. It's a boy. His name is to be called Jesus. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, and he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, Yahweh rescues. Yahweh delivers. Jesus, Yahweh saves. So from the days of the Old Testament prophets up to now, the message of Scripture, the message of the Bible, the message of Scripture is Jesus. It's Yahweh that God saves, that Jesus saves. Yeah. It's the central message of Scripture. So it's not about a Jesus that's a genie in a bottle. It's not about Jesus the therapist. Not about Jesus the social activist. Not Jesus just a good man and he was a prophet like other prophets, but no, Jesus the Son of God who came to save us from our sins. Let that marinate for just a minute. That Jesus came, make it personal, to save me from myself and from my issues and from my messiness and from my junk. And he did the same thing for you. This is the focus. This is the major theme of Christmas. This should be the major theme of our lives too, that we ought to be forgiving people. The reality is all of us in need of forgiveness, y'all. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So from a spiritual perspective, we were all born with a sin problem, amen, somebody, that we were eternally separated from God. And we'd be lost without Jesus. If you take a moment just to think about some of the things that you've done in your life, don't look at anybody, look forward. Some of the messiness you've had in your own life. And think about the fact that Jesus forgave you. That ought to cause you to shout. Some people say, I've never really been that bad. And though there are some folk, listen, I got a sister, her name is Marion. Listen, Marion is like this, she's like this person, you know, she'll never cuss. She never does anything wrong. Marion is just always, her whole life, she's just been a good person. But good people don't make it into glory based upon their goodness. Because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. None of us are good enough. And so what did God have to do? He had to forgive us of our sins. How did he forgive us of our sins? Through his son, Jesus Christ, who was born into the world. So the story that we're talking about, it begins in Bethlehem. Really, it begins long before that. It begins before time even began. Because forgiveness was always at the heart of God Almighty. God knew that we would mess up. God knew that we would sin. God knew what Adam and Eve would do. But God always had forgiveness in his heart. So, y'all, I was at the local cleaner some time ago, and I was noticing a sign on the window. And the sign says that they have a pickup service at the cleaners. And so what they do, they'll come by your house and they'll pick up your dirty soiled laundry and they'll take it with them and they will clean it up and make it all fresh again and they'll deliver it back to you. I want you to know this morning, listen, God has a pickup cleaning service. He picked up some dirty and some messy and some nasty people, and God delivered us and made us clean and made us whole. God has a pickup service. But that pickup service happens through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But listen, we have to focus on the fact that forgiveness is really the heart of God. So it has to be our heart. But this also, remember that forgiveness is not a suggestion. Rather, it is a command. In Matthew chapter 6, listen, we find what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Some great teachings from this model prayer. But in the same powerful prayer, Jesus said we ought to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And he goes on to teach about this whole subject of forgiving. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so we find something in this. So the method of our forgiveness only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But the motivation of our forgiveness is a full understanding of exactly what Jesus did for us. Maybe we talk about it too much. Maybe we talk about grace too much? Do we talk about the blood too much? That it just becomes commonplace. And he just ought to forgive me. He just ought to have grace for me because this is me. No. That the shouting news of the church, what should get us stirred is the fact that we are forgiven. But because we are forgiven, we're to forgive others. That's right. So, preacher, are you saying to me, listen, God gifted me with salvation. which means he gifted me with forgiveness. I confessed my faults and my sins to Jesus. Did he not forgive me of my sins? Is that, yes, he did. But make no mistake about it, that the Lord chastens those whom he loves. Because of justification, you're saved once and for all. But Jesus said, makes it clear, listen, you are to forgive other people. If you don't, God won't forgive. God will get you, y'all. I'm telling you. You're waiting on that next blessing. And God's saying, well, listen, you got some mess in your life. You haven't forgiven so-and-so. You haven't let go of some things in your life. So as we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, yes, we're justified by faith. Yes, we are forgiven in that very sins, past, present, and future. But it also means, though, don't take it for granted, that when people hurt you, when people offend you, that you're to forgive them, just like they're to forgive you. I want us to talk about, just for a few minutes, some of the consequences of unforgiveness. Just a few. That number one, unforgiveness handcuffs us to our past. I think about the story in Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, where it says this, for Herod himself had given orders to have John the Baptist, arrested. And he had bound and put him in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. He married his brother's wife. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias, old girl, did this. She nursed her grudge against him and had John beheaded. That she had some unforgiveness in her heart. She had a grudge. She had some anger going on inside of us. How many Herodiases, how much Herodias do we have in us? That we're handcuffed to our past. The preachers preach a whole lot about forgiveness, because I guess we need to. And it starts with us. That we have to release some stuff, let some stuff go, release some people, let them go, because it handcuffs us to our past. And God wants us to let our past go. But know this too, unforgiveness also poisons our soul. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22 says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say to you, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. That's one thing I found out from personal experience, that unforgiving people oftentimes carry a little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration, maybe sometimes a little bit of disdain for people that hurt us and they hurt us bad. That we refuse, because of our own pride, to let some stuff go. So we carry this level of anger. And if I can say this, maybe it's, you know, we don't call it hatred, because we don't want it to sound like that. But there's a disdain and hatred because of what someone did to us. And I found out, we talk about hate crimes in the world, y'all. We talk about hate crimes. Thank you, baby. And so a hate crime, by definition, is any various crimes of hostility towards a victim or a member group, because a person's race or their gender or whatever, you know, that we'll brick a house, we'll burn a cross in a yard. All of these hate crimes will hurt people. But how many people, according to Jesus' definition of anger, committing hate crimes against other members in the church? Against members that you say that you love, because you have so much hostility and disdain in your heart for, because of what they said to you, because of what they did to you, that you refuse to let it go. I'm getting near to the end, y'all, so we can go eat in a few minutes. But this third thing, so consequences of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness forfeits intimacy, and that's the big thing. It forfeits intimacy with God. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's not good when God has his hand up against you. It's not good when God shows you the hand, that you're asking God for a blessing. You're asking God for a certain thing. God goes, see the hand. And God will put you in a position. God will put you in a place that God will bring you to your knees. God will chastise you until you cry out and you forgive. You let go and you release. You can't get this blessing until you stop being messy and forgive. I know this is not a popular holiday sermon. That we want to talk about Jesus. We want to talk about his birth. We want to talk about the bright light. We want to talk about the shepherds. But can we talk about the real too? Because I believe in this holiday season and every day that God wants us to be of forgiving people. Preacher, you don't know how much they hurt me. Listen, I know what hurt feels like. From my own personal testimony, I know what it looks like to really be hurt by people that you love dearly. I know what it feels like. I don't want to go into but I know. But I know this too, that God still calls me to forgive and to love. So this last thing, when it comes to forgiving others, we can rely upon the power of God. And I think that's where it all comes from. Forgiveness can be a tall order when we're trying to do it by our own strength and by our own power and by our own might. It's impossible to have a relationship, y'all, between two saved people who still slip, dip, and trip and mess up and have sins in their lives. That listen, you put two people in the room, and listen, at some point, they're not going to get along. At some point, somebody's going to say something sideways. As Reverend Brown said last week, put yourself in your room by yourself. You're going to say some sideways to yourself. You're going to be mad at yourself. Sometimes we're the ones needing forgiveness, and sometimes we're the ones needing to forgive. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us that allows us to be able to forgive. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, come on, Bible readers, is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's this goodness of God working on the inside of us, this kindness, this patience, this gentleness allows us to forgive other people as they ought to forgive us. So again, I want to offer us a few steps. It's not all encompassing to help us to develop this total heart of forgiveness. Here's one thing that I believe that we can do, that we should acknowledge our pain. When people hurt you, don't cover it up. Don't dismiss it. Don't act as if it did not happen. They did not do it. Yes, they did. Yes, they said it. Yes, they did it. Yes, they offended you. Yes, they did hurt you. Acknowledge the pain. And acknowledging this can, when we fail to acknowledge stuff, y'all, we just, it's like an ostrich that puts his head in the sand. Don't numb yourself down. Don't do that. Acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge what happened in your life. It's another thing I want us to think about, too. Don't mistake forgiveness with trust. Because, we say it another way in the world, but I say it like this. Don't mistake forgiveness with trust. Because forgiveness is not sweeping things under the rug. It's not acting as if it did not happen. And forgiveness is not necessarily about forgetting what happened to you. You got a mind to think with. And if it's real ugly and it's real bad, you'll know from now until the rest of you what somebody did to you. But you don't have to hold that against them. And here's the thing, too. That the offense can be so hard, they can be so terrible, they can be so bad that, listen, there's a lack of trust. But forgiving, don't mistake forgiving with trusting people. I can forgive you. You can forgive me and still not trust me. That's okay. That perhaps sometimes there's a journey that has to take place to develop that trust again. And that's okay. Hear me when I say this. Know the difference between forgiving people and trusting them. This too, imagine being on the other side. Have you ever been in a place where somebody had to forgive you? And were they gracious and loving and kind to you? I know I'm looking at a whole bunch of Holy Ghost-filled believers in the house today. That maybe there's some walking with a halo around your head. But there's some other people that will admit, listen, I've said some pretty mean and nasty things. I said some things I wish I could take back, but you can't take back words. Yeah. That you've had some behaviors in your life that you cannot take back. Yeah, you said it. Yeah, you did it. Yeah. But did you have some gracious people in your life that, yeah, you hurt them, but they still forgave you? Yeah. They let it go. So put yourself in the shoes of the other person sometime. How are they feeling about this thing? Maybe they're hurting just as badly as you, and they're in need of your forgiveness. And then let go of the hurt. The devil, he's a slick rascal, y'all. And wherever he can get a foothold in, he'll try to get a foothold in. Because forgiveness is about a choice. But when I choose to forgive, but I still feel what I feel, that listen, we confuse the thing, but we have to let go of the hurt. At some point, we have to let that go. Don't allow yourself to replay the offense over and over again in your head. Let go of the pain and determine that you're gonna choose to move forward. And this is where real prayer becomes essential. Reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, to be able to really let it go. Don't bring it up 2 and 3 years later. You remember when. Husbands and wives, don't look around, look at me. But we know sometimes we're good at the, you know, that I call it the gunslinger effect. You know, so you upset about something in the house, and all of a sudden, you know, it's, you know, the Wild West movie, the whistle. I can't do the whistle. And y'all facing each other. And then the other person, boom, you remember when you did such and such a, show them you remember when you did. And the other person, show them you remember what you did. You remember. But all we was talking about was getting the garbage out. How we get here? I'm just making that scenario up, y'all. That didn't happen in the house. Sister Jackie, no, it's my job to take the garbage out. So I take the garbage out. But it's a gunslinger effect, y'all. So we have to let go of the hurt. Some stuff we simply do not bring up again. Do we remember it? Yes, but don't bring it up again. Determined to let go of the hurt. And finally, remember God's forgiveness. And that's what the text is really all about. That Jesus was born to save his people from their sins. Are you glad that you're one of Jesus' people? I know I am. And I'm one of his people because I believe that what Jesus did for me on Calvary's cross is true and it's real. And I've asked him to forgive me of my sins. I repent, we turn around, and repent, and we turn around. We repent, and we turn around, and he forgives us of our sins, and he makes us one of his people. But it didn't happen without the forgiveness of God. So remember God's forgiveness. If we have ever been forgiven so much, how then can we hold on to the grievances committed against us? And then reflect on the biblical command. Jesus stressed the importance of forgiving others on many occasions. You know, when he talked about want to ask, how many times do you forgive? Do you give, you know, 7 times in a day? He said 70 times 7, which was to emphasize as long as people keep messing up, they keep offending you, you keep on forgiving them. So my prayer in this holy day season, this holiday season, that if we have aught with anyone, if we have something against someone in our lives, that it doesn't necessarily mean you need to go to them and talk about it, that in this very moment you can release it and you can let it go. I pray that this word hits home today because I'm reminded time and time again that life is so short, life is so precious. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. And we ought to be a forgiving people, a gracious people, a loving people towards one another. So again, I pray that this message finds its target in your heart. Dr. Tony Evans, the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, was commenting on forgiveness. Talked about how the child, and he was in elementary school, how he loved going to the blackboard at school. The teacher would call, so who wants to come up to the blackboard and write on the blackboard? That Tony would raise his hand. He loved going to the blackboard, y'all. That every time she would call, Tony would raise his hand, and Tony understood something. He said, listen, I could go to the blackboard, and I had this chalk in my hand, and if I happened to be doing an arithmetic problem or writing something, it was wrong, I could always pick up the eraser and to erase what was on the blackboard and to get it right. I'm trying to say something to us this morning. One of the beautiful things about the work of God is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory. That if he wanted to, he could keep the writing on the chalkboard of all the mess and all the stuff that we did in our lives. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he erases all of that stuff, every bit of it. He erases it from your life and from my life. And that's shouting news, y'all. And so what am I saying to us this holiday season? That if there's any gift that you ought to give to somebody, that we ought to re-gift to somebody, that we give forgiveness that was passed along from God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And every day we ought to be willing to re-gift that idea. So how about it this holiday season? Why don't you give the gift of forgiveness? Let it go. Give the gift of forgiveness. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this word this morning. God, thank you so much for your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you for your goodness towards us. That while we were yet in sin, Jesus came and died for us. That he was born into this world for that very purpose, that we might be forgiven of our sins, that he might save his people from their sins. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart, Father, that you raised him from the dead. And this confession and this belief brings salvation. It brings your forgiveness. It brings your grace and your mercy. And for that, we're grateful. You gifted us with forgiveness. We're willing to re-gift it, to pass it along, to give it to other people in our lives. We did not deserve your forgiveness. We did not deserve your grace and your mercy, but by your love, you gave it to us anyway. And help us to be the kind of people that we reflect on what you did for us. For such a great salvation, that we're to be a people of a great forgiveness towards others. In this very moment, oh God, we lift up those in this moment, Lord God, that may not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. That they would know that your word is true in this holiday season. That, Father, you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins, to forgive us. And forgiveness is not automatic. That we have to turn to Jesus. That there is no other way. That we have to confess him as Lord and Savior. That we have to believe that he is who you say he is, who your word says he is. And when we do that, that settles it. That we're saved from sins past, present, and future. And then to still be the gracious people that recognize your salvation, your great salvation. That there's nothing that we hold against another person for the thing that they've done to us. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this very moment. It comes up to this moment. Holy Spirit, have your way in the hearts of the people that are gathered here today. If there's someone that's in need of your saving grace, speak, Holy Spirit, to their hearts. If there's someone here today that's without a church home, a place where they can fellowship and serve and pray with other believers, Lord God, lead them by your Spirit if this is the right place for them. But they would all know, God, that in this holiday, this holy day season, that our focus is on Jesus. It's really about him and what he did for us. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your saving powers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.